You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
All right, so we ready to get on topic here?
Yeah, there's a topic?
There actually is a topic, believe it or not. All right, so then that was episode 10 that we just recorded, so we're on episode 11 now.
11. This one goes through 11.
11. We're going to turn it up to 11.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Pop and Step. Push your bend when things get rough. HR Pop and Step. Can't do a little because you can't do enough.
All right, so this is Banzai Retro Club, and I am Dave. Can you dig it? Online, I have got Rose.
Hello.
And I've got Scott.
Hi, everybody.
And, today we just want to say, hello, world. Hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. We're on episode 11, and we are talking Partridge Family, and talking about the late, great David Cassidy. Actually, Rose, you seemed really hip to the idea of doing this topic. Did you watch Partridge Family a lot?
You know, I watched it simply because of David Cassidy. The rest of the cast was kind of oblivious as far as I was concerned. Although, I have to admit, I do remember Shirley Jones from back in the day. She was in a lot of musicals and stuff, and I always appreciated her talent and her acting abilities. And, of course, David's dad, who was married to Shirley Jones, but she wasn't his mom, she was his stepmom, Jack Cassidy, I remember him. So, to see David Cassidy all grown up and starring in a awesome TV show about a family of musicians, mind you. I don't know if anybody remembers the 60s, but the Cowsills was one of the first family, because they all sang and played instruments and things like that. Mm-hmm. This was loosely based on them. And I guess they were actually supposed to be in the show, but Shirley Jones was always going to play the mom, and I guess the actual mom of the Cowsills was like, what? So they backed out when they didn't cast her as the actual mother, which I thought was kind of weird. Maybe her acting skills wasn't up to snuff. I don't know. But if you really want to look at it, Shirley Jones is a bit more of a focal point during this time. So, but it was a neat show. It was different than all the ones that I'd watched before. And you kind of tell right away that who the main stars were. I mean, you know, whenever you have kids that are acting, like in a Brady Bunch, you know, even then, you know, there were the ones that weren't, so they weren't really that talented, because that's not really fair, but they weren't that prominent in the show. And whereas Shirley and David and Susan and Danny with his little smart ass, they seem to be, along with, you know, Dave Madden, seem to be more of the main focal point. Whereas Brian Foster or Forster and Suzanne Craw were kind of like every so often you'd see them in the scene, but you'd always see everybody once they were performing. And I guess the only two people that actually could perform theoretically were Shirley and David, because the rest of them were all lip syncing. So
I think it was an interesting formula for the dynamics of the family itself. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you had Shirley Jones, you know, just the matron of the family, just did it really well. But then mm-hmm. you had David Cassidy as the teenage boy heartthrob. And then you had mm-hmm. Susan Day, who all rights was the female equivalent of that. Even though they, mm-hmm. they didn't play her off as that, but she definitely was hot in her own rights. Right. And then you had the kind of the mischievous Danny Mia Bonaducci, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was like the right formula. I'm trying to remember what Tracy brought to the or Susan Craw. What did she bring to the that, you know, other than maybe the innocent young kid?
Yeah, she was kind of, you know, a little smart aleck in her own right. I mean, she's the youngest sister, so she had her moments. All of the kids seem to be, you know, kind of wise Weisenheimers. But I think at the age level that they were, Danny's character seemed to pull it off better. Yeah, because I think that's... Well, as we can see, that's kind of who he is in real life. So,
yeah.
The other two were kind of, that was how their characters were written.
Right.
And truthfully, they didn't really go on to do much after that. I think they were still teenagers once they dropped out of the Hollywood scene. So, but yeah, it's just one of those things, I guess, that the long hours that you have to be on the set and all of the physicality, I guess, of performing, that kind of takes its toll after a while. And that doesn't, I don't know, it, you don't see that when the final product is put on the screen. You know, although it said that David Cassidy, if they had to go into another season, he was going to be replaced by Rick Springfield, but I just don't think he would have had the same... I don't think he would have had the same magic. I really don't. I think Rick Springfield did a lot better being on General Hospital. You know?
Yeah.
But even though he could sing, he would have brought something different. You know, a different vibe, I think, to the show. And I think that's... They called it. That's why they just canceled it, you know, because David was exhausted. He just said he's lost interest and couldn't do it anymore, which is understandable.
I wonder why they didn't go for his brother, because actually Chrissy is a bigger fan of Sean than she is of David. She's a huge fan of Sean Cassidy. Now,
right.
You know, I don't know the age difference there, though. I don't know if I think Sean was the younger of the two.
Yeah, but still. Okay, so I've got IMDb over right now, and I'm going to pull him up because I think that he was doing the Hardy Boys or something.
Mm.
But
that's,
I don't
right.
know when that
might,
was.
It might have been.
Yeah, because
he
had,
might have been under contract for something else then.
Right.
I don't think this show would have worked with any other person than David Cassidy.
Yeah, but how many people said that about Bewitched?
Well, no, I'm thinking like think Family Ties.
Yeah,
Michael J. Fox says, you know, I'm done.
Yeah,
the show's over.
Yeah,
you know, and I think you have the same formula here with the Partridge Family. You know, that David Cassidy, you know, he was kind of the Michael J. Fox of this group.
Yeah, I did. He did. He brought a lot.
Like when they changed actors for Christopher or Chris in after the first season or so.
Right.
You know, he was such a supporting role.
Right.
That it wouldn't be as noticeable.
No, and they and his family, his father took a job outside of California, and I guess trivia states that once he was gone, nobody really complained that they replaced him with somebody else completely.
Oh, you're talking about Jeremy? I mean,
yeah,
the one that was Chris, the original Chris. Yeah,
yeah.
He didn't do anything else after that either.
No, he didn't. Sean Cassidy did the Hardy Boys and the Nancy Drew Mysteries from 77 to 79. I don't know. I don't think he would have done it. I really don't. I know he could sing and I know he could act, but I just don't think that was his style because he had like a completely different music viewpoint than his brother did.
So, Dave. I think he's
nice.
I'm sorry.
Yep, I'm listening.
Let's see, when was this? This might have been late 90s. Were you living in the area yet? And where you are now?
Late 90s. How late are we talking?
Probably 98.
98, I would have been living in the Illinois area.
Maybe 2000?
What, I mean, in 1997 is when I got out of the Navy and I moved to Illinois.
Okay, so my question is, what radio were you listening to when you were in the Chicago area once you moved there?
I started out listening to The Mix a lot.
Okay, The Mix, not The Loop.
Yeah, it was more The Mix.
Or WCKG.
No, I was more mainstream, so I was listening to...
Or AM 1000?
Nope.
So, but you do remember, like, Johnny, you know, Johnny B., Jonathan Brandmeier?
Yeah.
And Kevin Matthews and Stephen Gary. Well, there was a point when Danny Bonaducci actually joined that lineup on the radio in Chicago. And I will tell you, it was some of the funniest radio I had heard. You know, these are the wacky DJs. These are the Howard Sterns of back then, when Howard Stern was just getting started out too. But his show was hysterical, and he wrote this. He did it by autobiography. I don't remember if it was written by, you know, a co-author or whatever. Probably, but he told some wacky, crazy stories, not just from the Partridge Family, but, you know, immediately after and all the way up to his adulthood. And I like went back and go, wow, I find Danny Bonaducci the most entertaining of the whole Partridge Family. Not saying they weren't all talented or whatever, but he was like the most fascinating, you know, this smart ass kid. And then, you know, I just thought it was really, his story is really cool. If you ever get a chance to check it out, I would look into his story a little bit more.
I actually bought that for my daughter one year for Christmas.
Did you or she read it?
She read it. It was right when he started coming back into the limelight, and you started hearing all these things about his past life and his alcoholism and all of this stuff.
Oh yeah, he went through rough times, man.
Yeah, he did. And he was on TV quite a bit, and I can't remember if he had like a reality show or something was going on with him, and my daughter used to always catch him on something. She's like, oh my god, this kid is not, she didn't call him a kid, but she says, this guy is hysterical. And
he actually,
like,
did have his own reality show.
Yeah,
and a lot of people said, I don't know if it's true, but a lot of people said he was really jacked up on steroids because he just started becoming like this massive bodybuilder type dude.
Yeah.
So he's been through a lot of stuff, but his story is very interesting, and he tells some crazy, wacky, very funny stories when he was in his teens after right after the Partridge Family.
Yeah, he had like he was a teenager and he had like grown women he was sleeping with.
Oh yeah, he was pretty radical.
Like, how? First of all, why? Is an even better question.
And then at one point he was living out of his van, you know.
Yeah.
On the back streets of Hollywood. It's a very fascinating story. We're not getting off the main topic of the Partridge Family themselves.
No, actually, I don't think so. I think this has a lot to do with everything, you know, involved. I mean, you know, a lot of the characters, you know, like you said, you know, the two that we spoke about, you know, the first Chris, you know, just did like one or two episodes and then he was done. And the second Chris, you know, he didn't even do anything after that. And then, I'm trying to remember the little girl, Suzanne, that played Tracy. Mm-hmm. She passed away not too long ago.
Really?
She was.
Oh, yeah, 2015. She was only 52.
Yeah, 52. And some
young
heart ventricular dysplasia. Hmm. So it has some kind of heart condition or something. But yeah. So, and you know, of course, Dave Madden's been gone for a while. But a lot of these people.
I loved Ruben.
I loved Ruben too. He's so sarcastic. But there were a lot of good people, good actors that were in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon Jump was in it. You know, Rosemary DeCamp, she played for a 4-episode as Grandma. Ray Bolger played Grandpa. You know, Alan Oppenheimer, Burt Convy. It's just.
Yeah, there's some good cameos in there, right?
Yeah, it's like Burt a Vic Convy, Tabak.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Vic Tabak was in it. You know, and it's just Harry Morgan, he was in a couple of episodes. Artie Johnson, Jackie Coogan.
Artie Johnson, really?
Yeah.
Dick Clark played himself in there.
I was looking. You said Harry Morgan. I was like Potter was in
Colonel Potter.
Yeah.
So, but he was, you know, there were some good people, and mainly because this was a popular show.
Annette the O'Toole demographic. Was in an episode.
Wow, I liked her. I know she always played a bitch, but I liked
Bobby
her.
Sherman.
Bobby Sherman. Yeah. What was he did?
A lot of people in this show. And I don't remember. I don't remember him being like. I don't remember them. I was probably too young for one. I'm only, you know, 5 and 6 years old when this was actually a new show. I remember watching it in reruns. It was always back to back with that and the Brady Bunch, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't remember a lot of these people when they were actually famous actors showing up as a as like a cameo, what you would call nowadays.
And they even
Farrah
went on
Fawcett.
What episode was she in? Because I know I don't remember that one.
1970.
It was in
the Sound of Money. She was her character was a pretty girl.
That's a duh.
It's a shocker.
Meredith Baxter was in
the Meredith Baxter Bernie?
Yeah.
Meredith Baxter.
Yeah. She was a Meredith Baxter.
Okay. Louis Goss Jr.
Wow. See, these are like all the heavy hitters in the 70s. Richard Pryor!
It's really fascinating, all these names.
Rob Reiner was in this.
Yeah, I saw that too. I was going to say something.
Like, this is cutting edge stuff, mainly because you've got this whole demographic of teenagers that, you know, first it was, you know, the Brady Bunch, and now, you know, they were a little bit too milk toasty. So you needed something with a little bit more edge to it, but not too much. So you have
Sunshiny
a mom.
Sunshiny Day by the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. You have a mom who's a widow, but you never hear about the dad. And she's taking her kids on the road, and they're singing as a family group. That was a pretty big deal back then. This is the 70s.
So Jodie Foster was also in it.
Man, you know, and these are probably a lot of, like, starts for these people.
Even
I think Jodie went back.
I think Jodie Foster was in an episode in 1973.
Okay.
What was she in before that? I yeah, these are starts for a lot of these people, which is kind of a cool little trivial thing to know that some of these actors and actresses that had not been known yet maybe got their start because they were on an episode of The Partridge Family.
Margaret Hamilton was in it. I love seeing Margaret Hamilton in anything. She used to do Maxwell House coffee commercials. And just to see her without the green face.
Yeah,
I would think that, you know, if you were a actor's agent back in this time period, you know, it would be like, okay, this week I've got you booked on The Partridge Family. Next week I got you on Chips. The week after that I got you on Love Boat.
Yeah, Love Boat.
I can just imagine you'd be making the rounds as a young actor or actress.
Do you know who was really good at doing that? Charo.
Charo, yeah. She was in everything.
God, yes.
So get this. I'm scrolling down the list of more people in this show. Cheryl Ladd.
Cheryl Ladd and Jacqueline Smith. Now all you need is...
Wait. Third... Jacqueline Smith too?
Yes, and all you need
and
is...
And Farrah Fawcett.
Name. Yeah. There you go. That
was
Jacqueline the later...
Jacqueline Smith, or was it...
Jacqueline Smith. Cheryl Ladd replaced Farrah Fawcett after she left the show. In Charlie's Angels.
Charlie's Angels were basically on The Partridge Family.
Yeah. You just
Who
need
knew?
Kate.
Really?
What's her name?
Kate Jackson, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These, a lot of these people, you know, that's their jumping off point in shows like this. And I'm looking at all of these going, oh, I know who she is, you know, because I watch a lot of old movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Ned Glass, you know who he was. Mark Hamill.
Wait, Mark Hamill is in this?
One episode he played Jerry in 1971.
Oh, that is so cool. I've got to find that episode now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And you just keep scrolling, and it just goes on forever.
It really does. It keeps going. One episode.
Yeah.
Bobby Griffin.
That's all they needed.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I haven't got that far yet. But yeah, this is amazing. And then they even went on to do, and I don't know how long it lasted, but they had an animated series.
Oh my God, Johnny Cash was on it.
See, I didn't watch the show near as much as I thought I did.
Yeah, neither did I. Or I didn't catch on. I was just probably too young.
Yeah.
I love, I didn't expect to be able to get this excited about this show. Like this episode of Partridge Family. I'm like, man, do I really remember a lot of it? But a lot of it's coming back to me, and it's really cool.
You know what I wish? I wish Netflix would put it back.
I think Netflix. I love you.
Frank Welker is in an episode.
Frank Walker, what's that?
The great Frank Welker. He's a voiceover actor.
Okay. Larry Wilcox.
All right, are you ready? Are you ready for
Larry
this?
Larry Wilcox from Chips.
Yeah.
Here's the synopsis of the episode that Mark Hamill was in.
Where did you find Mark Hamill?
Hold on, Matt. Lori gets the bad news that she needs braces just as she thinks Jerry, the boy across the street, might finally get up the nerve to ask her to go study. Guess who Jerry is? Mark Hamill. Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Okay, I see it now.
So, Old Scrap Mouth is the episode.
Wow.
So, that's awesome. That's a special kind of awesome right there. I didn't see that coming out tonight.
Yeah.
You know, the only person that's missing from this list is Kevin Bacon. That's probably because he was only about 2 years old when this came out. Because we could do the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Yes, he was in the Partridge Family. No, he wasn't.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm sure out of this long list of stars, there's probably one step away from Kevin. Somewhere.
I'm sure. Kevin's cousin or something like that. And Kevin was supposed to be in the show, and he got sick. So.
Well, you got Louis Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
And you got some other current actors that... Jacqueline Smith. Holy crap.
Huh. This was a big deal.
Yeah, this was a big deal. To be this on the Partridge Family?
Yeah.
Who knew? And at the time, you knew they couldn't have, they could not have known that it was going to be, like, pivotal, you know? It's a pivotal show in the 70s. Everybody, if you see the Partridge Family bus, which I've seen a couple of replicas throughout the years, you know, just driving around, you're like, oh, Partridge Family, you can't stop but to help and gawk at it as you pass by it or it passes by you.
Yeah.
The Partridge Family bus, man.
I think it was actually based on a real painting.
Based on a what?
A real family.
A real painting.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Painting, you said?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The design, the geometric design.
Oh, yeah,
design.
It's very square. Yeah. So my brother's kind of, my brother and his family and his wife, actually they're both named Aaron. It's Aaron and Aaron Compton. It's crazy. But they have 13 children now. And they have been training all their kids musically. And so they actually have a string band, everything from a viola to a banjo to a guitar, acoustic guitar and violin and cello. They have the full gamut. So my brother and his wife are kind of like bringing up the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
Musicians. And they play weddings and they play, I mean, they do all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
So it's really cool, and I have a few recordings of their both, you know, stuff that they've recorded on their own, and then some videos that I had when we were together and watching the kids play, and it's truly amazing to see a family get together and have a common purpose like that. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
The Partridge Family, really, that idea was something that was thrown out there.
Right, because in real life, you had the Jackson 5.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Osmonds, of course, the Cowsills, which was, you know, so it was kind of like, but a next step, let's put this fictitious family, yet it's based on real life, on TV to show people what it's like to have a musical family and have to take this all into account in everyday occurrences and things like that, you know. But I think the producers knew exactly what they were doing when they cast David Cassidy, because he was a teen idol, and he wasn't even a teenager. He was like in his 20s, but he had to play a teenager, which was cool. It's been done before, Jason Priestley. Anyway, but it's like they were thinking with their bank accounts. They weren't necessarily thinking, you know, this demographic that they were aiming towards were all teenagers, and they knew exactly where that money was going. I actually read this thing to where some of his managers, I mean, because they talked about him making like a $600 a week salary, which back in the 70s wasn't nothing to sneeze at. But they lowballed it and made it sound like, oh, that's all he made when he first started. But then he had other people working on his behalf, wink, wink, that were pocketing like all of these fan letters and these fan club proceeds and everything, and these girls are sending in money to join the fan club, and it's actually not even going to him. It's going to, you know, his agent or manager or people who are running the organization behind him. And it wasn't until he was old enough, till he was like 21. Okay, so he was like 19, 20. So he was like 21, and he was actually renegotiated his contract, then he actually started seeing some of that money. Which I thought, that's pretty shit, because here you are giving these people the better half of your life, and they're taking advantage of you for money, not caring whether you got any of it or not, but you're the one that's making it for them, you know? And I think a lot of times kid actors fall into that trap. If it's not the managers that screw them, it's their parents, you know? So this is like this is a pretty big deal to last as long as it did, first of all, and to go on, you know, it's 2017, you know, and people are still talking about David Cassidy and the Partridge Family and like we're doing, except there's grander scales out there. You know, there's, like I said, there's people in their 50s and 60s that are going, oh my God, we just lost a major icon in our history.
Uh-huh.
Not just music history or life history, but our history, our own personal.
Pop culture.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's just, you know, how do you process that?
Yeah.
Contact Netflix. You tell them, hey, get the Partridge Family on
back
your
honor.
Get it on there and let people reminisce. You know, let people watch this stuff and go, oh my God, this is hysterical. Oh, look, Richard Pryor's in an episode.
Yeah, I know. I was just, I was going to say,
how
Richard
does that
Pryor,
work?
I'm like, okay. Two names that we hadn't mentioned yet, which you just said, was Richard Pryor. And then I also see Slim Pickens is on here. There's so many amazing actors that were on this show for one episode. It's really cool. It's really a cool little piece of history for us now.
Just, you know,
so,
just
anyway.
I didn't necessarily watch all three seasons or four seasons or however long it was on, but I did catch it every time, you know, it was on, and it was just, it was hysterical, you know. It was a good show. It was a good clean show too, even though there was a lot of snide comments made by Ruben and Danny. Yeah, they used to go at each other.
They had banter. Yeah, they had banter.
Oh my God. Yeah.
The Odd Couple.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
That's a good way to explain them. That's
because Ruben was very the straight man, and Danny was let's see how we can work our way around the system here.
Mm-hmm. And there was this one quote where Danny says, you can't do that to me, I'm just a kid. And Ruben says, you're not a kid, you're a midget in a kid suit.
Would that fly today?
I don't think it would, actually. First of all, you can't say that.
Are we even supposed to say the M word?
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's not PC, is it?
Oh, no.
No, there's a lot of not PC stuff flying.
Yeah. Oh, there's tons of it in the 70s.
Yeah.
In fact, that might be a fun topic to dive into sometime. Dig out all the non-PC things that were in the 70s that everything seemed to be okay at the time.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, that.
I wouldn't want to approach it in a negative way. I just think it's funny that the times have changed so much.
Right.
Right. Definitely.
Yo, I'll be back in a minute. Don't go away.
Wake up, Keith. We've got to leave in 15 minutes.
Oh, we've got Shirley fixing breakfast. Wake up, Keith.
Wake up, Keith.
Keith is turning over. Wants to sleep.
This always works.
Kellogg's Rice Krispies. Hear the roar. Let him pull.
I think I'm waking up.
We've got sleepy Keith Partridge. Wake it up. Wake it up. Snap, crackle, pop. Wake it up.
Wake up like me. Wake up with Kellogg's Rice Krispies.
Hi. What a coincidence. I just happened to be passing by and I nearly got trampled. Hey, you're all right, aren't you? I mean, you're not going to be sick.
Your radio. It's playing the same thing my mouth is.
I beg your pardon?
It was you.
Lori, did you know you have braces?
I'm sorry. I meant to break it to you eventually.
Hey, Lori, it really doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't?
No, you're still you. I mean, you're a beautiful person, even if you do have an ugly mouth. Oh, gosh, I didn't mean that. What I mean is there's a lot of good things about having braces. You can strike a match on your teeth. I don't mean that either. Boy, I'm really blowing it. I need braces on my head.
Oh, thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome, but what for?
You made me smile.
City's rising in the sky. freeway traffic jetting high. Future's here for us to see. It's 2200 AD.
Music we pay. Daddy got Reuben to sell our song, and it really came together when Mom sang along.
Come on now and meet everybody and hear us singing. There's nothing better than being together when we're singing. When we're singing. When we're singing.
Well, you know, I listening to you guys geek out, I didn't get a chance to jump in with the not say yesterday. I actually looked up a clip because I was curious about, you know, reunion stuff about Partridge Family, and I came across a clip that they did for on the Arsenio show.
Mm-hmm. No, okay.
Yeah, and so Shirley Jones, David Cassidy, and Danny Bonaducci were there. And it was, you know, the first question went to David. And it was like, you know, did you find it difficult to be, you know, like a teenage heartthrob? And he said that, you know, at times it felt that he was modeling his life to be more like Keith. And he forgot who David was, mm-hmm. you know, because he was so trying to be like Keith, he lost track of who David was. So he thinks that, you know, maybe a lot of challenges that he had in his latter life, was because he was still coming to cope with who David Cassidy was versus who Keith was.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind sense. Of, so it's kind of an interesting take on that. But then what was funny was, in kind of a self-deprecating way, talking to Danny, you know, he was like, you know, this is when he's like being completely honest about, you know, the struggles and all the challenges he's had. And he's talking about the fact where he's like, well, this might be the first TV show interview I've done where I wasn't in jail first.
Hmm.
Wow.
So he was, you know, making a joke about that, but at the same time, he had just started doing stand-up act. In fact, he was doing, he was opening for David Cassidy's show when he was in concert. So, like, Danny would come out and do, like, a 15-20-minute stand-up act before the, you know, before David performed, which I thought was kind of cool that they were still working together, like, you know, post-Partridge Family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Danny being the starting to come to grips with the, I haven't made the best choices in my life, and now I'm going to just be honest about it. And I appreciate that about him.
Yeah. Yeah. So many times people try to cover up for that or not wanting to divulge it. And then I can understand that's a private part of your life, that if it's unscrupulous or it's not, like you said, self-deprecating, if it is, then you're going to try and say, oh, no, well, there was a past in my history that I'd rather not talk about. But no, he's very forthright and like, yep, I screwed up quite a few times. You know?
So, David Cassidy, yeah, we lost him. That what you guys are saying, that was really the heartfelt part about it was it wasn't so much where I was like I had tons of David Cassidy albums or I just had this fondness memory of Partridge Family. And uh-huh. now as we get older and we start losing these beloved actors and actresses of that, those decades, the 70s and 80s, it's like, not another one. And I don't even know how to express it, but it's just like something just tears it away. And it's like, that's not supposed to happen. Let's stop that from, let's keep those guys, let's put them all into like some sort of, freezer of some sort and keep them alive forever, break them out whenever we want to have like a reunion show. I don't know what I'm saying, but these guys just have to stop dying, please.
I remember in 2012 when Davy Jones passed away.
Yeah.
It was actually the day that my granddaughter was born. And I thought, wow, is that like a true testament of joy and pain all in one fell swoop? Because when I was 6 years old, I told my grandmother, I said, I'm going to marry him.
And Davy Jones? Like,
yeah. It's like, honey, he's probably about 20 years older than you are. So if you're 20, he's going to be 40. And I'm thinking, God, that sounds old. And I'm like, well, I guess I don't really have to marry him, but maybe we could be friends. But I was like this serious crush on him. And then, to find out, that, when he did pass away, it was like, holy shit. That's awful. That was really bad.
Pretty young, too. What, 67? Was he?
Yeah, he was 65, actually.
65?
Yeah,
but
still. Yeah, he was supposed to live forever. Like you said.
Oh, no, 67.
Was he 67? I thought he was.
Yeah, he was born in 1950.
I think he was only 10 years older than me. That wasn't too bad.
You could have been Rosemary Jones.
He had some awesome hair.
He had some amazing hair.
Awesome hair.
Yeah.
Really? Like in the Partridge Family, his hair was sweet.
Oh, you're talking about David Cassidy. I'm talking about David Jones.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
I never
Davy Jones. Davy Jones had the same hair. He had the kind of mullet thing going on,
Yeah, I don't think I ever watched David Cassidy. He was kind of cute, though, but by that time, I realized, now he's too old.
All right, so just starting out there, Susan Day, I love you. Go ahead. We can go on now.
No, it's honestly, that's not unheard of. She's a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
And she was very smart, too. She actually went on and produced and directed and did all kinds of things. So, yeah, maybe she couldn't sing, but she had other qualities that, furthered her career in Hollywood. So, kudos to her. She had amazing hair. Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, where did she get this hair from?
Oh, here we are. We're going to start talking about the hair club for Partridge Family now.
Well, hey, Farrah Fawcett was part of that. So, and if we're going to talk about 70s and 80s hair, that's somebody has to come to mind. Yeah. Oh, Ponch. Yeah. Nice.
That's some great hair.
Poncherello.
That was another good show. I like watching it.
We will have to touch base on Chips, I think.
We'll have to do a Chips episode.
Chips, Emergency Squad 51, which was on Netflix for a long time. I started watching some. It's great. Yeah. It's great stuff.
Well, I could definitely get my MASH on, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was majorly iconic.
Yep. So, anyway.
So, final thoughts for Partridge Family. Scott, want to lead us off?
Well, just, rest in peace to David Cassidy. He was definitely an icon of
the 70s TV era, and, you know, musically, it really is hard watching all these people that we grew up with starting to go away one by one, and at young ages too. Like Tom Petty, he's only in his 60s, and Dave Cassie in his 60s, and, you know, a lot of these people that are passing in their 50s and 60s, it's kind of scary what's going on. Considering, you know, I'm going to be 50 very soon, it's not a far stretch down to 60 or 65 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my final thoughts.
Okay.
It was a fun show, and God be with David, you know?
How about you, Rose?
Just thank you for the creators of the Partridge Family. They obviously saw something that we needed that we didn't see. I just had lots of hours of enjoyment, you know, watching the family unit, as it were, and how they weren't probably not much different from America's family, so to speak. They weren't the Cleavers, but, you know, they were right up there, you know. And I think sometimes when you put a group of people together and make them a family, they eventually do become one. And we just don't see it, you know, because their chemistry and their, you know, their collaboration to all achieve the same goal. I think that makes them a family. And I appreciate all of them, you know. Very sad that David passed away so young. And he had a lot of really good in his life, I think. I know he had a lot of not so good in his life, but he had a lot of people that supported him and looked after him and cared for him. And I think that's important. And I know he's up there kind of looking down on everybody going, yep, hurry up, get up here, bitches. This is way better than what you're doing.
It's way better.
I don't know.
It's got to be way better, yeah.
Bitches, but, you know, that doesn't really sound like David Cassidy, but you never know. I don't know. I never like, spent 5 or 10 minutes talking to him, but he might not could have been his go-to word. No.
Bitches.
Yeah.
I was sleeping, and right in the middle of a good dream, like all at once, I wake up from something that keeps knocking at my brain. Before I go insane, I hold my pillow to my head and spring up in my bed, screaming out the words I dread. I think I love you.
I think I love you.
What am I so afraid of? I'm afraid that I'm not sure of a love there is no cure for.
I think I love you.
All these years.
Isn't that what life is made of? Though it worries me to say, I've never felt this way. There you go. David Cassidy, you will be missed. You know, as if you're listening to a podcast in heaven. But, you know, we'd like to address as if you are. But this conversation surprised me. Because we totally geeked out on just the rich variety that was the Partridge Family. And mm-hmm. I had forgotten that aspect about it because I remembered the family aspect of it. I remembered how you had the Brady Bunch and then you had the mm-hmm. Partridge Family. And the Partridge Family was just completely different than what you had from the Brady Bunch. Mm-hmm. But as we started this conversation and we started to figure out all these different people that had guest appearances, it brought in so much more depth to this show that I completely forgot about. So I'm with the sentiment that it's got to get on Netflix. I think mm-hmm. we need to totally geek out on every one of these episodes. And I know I've got to find that Mark Hamill episode again. Mm-hmm. And I know I've seen it because as I read the synopsis, I was like, I've seen that episode, but I didn't place Mark Hamill in it because I was so focused on the family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
Yeah, so it'd be a fun ride to go back and go, wow, look at that, and start watching all these episodes, going through all the different seasons, and go, look who's there, look at that, and that would be a blast. That would be a complete blast. Considering where those people, what those people became.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a very fun topic. Let's go ahead and wrap things up here. So what we normally say at the end of these things is we want everybody to check out our social media. Go to BonsaiRetroClub.com, and that links you to our Twitter, our Facebook, and Patreon, and all that kind of good jazz. We'd love for you to go out there, check that stuff out, and be engaged with us. Interact with us. Tell us what you like, what you don't like about the show. We want your feedback. We want you to give us ideas for future shows. Our club will only get better if, all the club members participate, and that's you. So we need you. We also got something else we need you to do, but Rose likes to tell us about that.
Yeah. I just thought of something. Our boss, the overlord, David, gave us a task this Thanksgiving weekend. And we hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend out there. And he said, while you're out there enjoying family and food and fun, find somebody with an iPhone and put a review. And I was like, dude, are you serious? But he is. He is that serious because he is that committed to us as a group. So the next time you all have a friend showing you off their new iPhone 8 or the iPhone 10 or whichever one, just make sure you don't drop it first, okay? And say, ooh, do you have iTunes? I've got something I want to put on here. I want to say amazing things about this new podcast I heard on Bonsai Retro Club. And just go in there and just tell us how awesome we are or how not awesome we are. Or whatever. Just, be nice, because we're all grown-ups here. And we'll appreciate it. And I keep saying that whoever puts out a review that's of some merit, there's times when we get, oh, you guys are great, or thanks for the fun, or you're hysterical. I'm waiting for somebody to actually do something like that so I could say, oh, here's this person in Cleveland, Ohio, that was listening to our podcast, episode 3. Their name is, thank you for doing that for us. Now, we've already done that for Frederick, but Frederick's kind of special. He's like right there with us. He's like melded in our group. He's a silent partner, so to speak.
He's one of our, he's part of Bonsai Retro Club DNA is what he is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. We want more people like that. We want more people to listen and look forward to, because life's too short and we just got to grab all the fun that we can while we're still here. So thank you all for your reviews and your comments, and thank you for listening, because I could sit here and talk all day as well, but if nobody's listening, what's the point? Who am I kidding? I'd still do it if nobody listened. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't want it to be construed that, Dave the Overlord is, trying to rig the system. But I know after years of asking people to do reviews, not everybody does it, And
no.
Sometimes it's just easier to just, take action for yourself, And you'd be surprised that, if you're in a gathering where there's a lot of phones, people will start passing their phones to you. And it's crazy how that works, where it's just like, I'd much rather just have everyone do it for us without having to, push the issue. Mm-hmm. But, it's amazing though, when you get into a social setting and everybody's got their noses in one of these, fangled devices. It doesn't take more than a few moments, to do it. So And especially if somebody's never ever going to listen to a podcast in their life, it's not like you're going to be, you know, stealing their vote, you know, for an election. So I don't feel bad about it. I don't lose sleep. So vote once, vote often. That's what I say.
Well, you do live in Illinois, so.
Yeah, exactly. So it's I'm in the right state for that political view. Not that I condone that. All right. So the other thing that I like to say is, you know, be excellent to each other. Just stay nice and do nice things to each other, and the world will be a better place. Scott, you got any final thoughts for us?
We did not mention Patreon.
Oh, go for it, sir.
So if you are so inclined and you like the show and you like what you hear and you want us to continue on and you want to help us out in that endeavor, please visit our Patreon page, which is through a link at our website, BonsaiRetroClub.com. So if you want to help us out and you want to contribute, that would be so awesome. We would really, really love that. So please do that, and we'll love you forever. We'll love you anyway, but, you know, it'd be helpful.
Yeah, you'll be our bestest friends.
Yep.
Very cool. All right. Everybody have a good whatever. Bye.
Take care, people.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai! Okay.
Wow, look at that. So,
didn't see that coming.
Yeah, that we totally went in a different direction of this that I didn't see coming.
That's great.
Yeah, I like those. I like shows that surprise me.
That definitely awesome. Surprised me. I think it was all the extra people that were on the show really helped out a lot.
Yeah.
That was fun. So, and real quick, I was about to search for something on iTunes here. I just saw that I looked up Morton Harkett, and I want to tell both of you that I listened to Pearl Jam's 10, and I listened to a few of Morton Harkett's solo stuff. Now, I was kind of driving around, so I couldn't, like, try to figure out which just one album it was, but there was a song by Morton Harkett that was called, I think it was Evangelina or something like that. And it was sung in his native tongue, which is what? Is it Norwegian? Or Norwegian?
Yeah.
And it was absolutely beautiful. Like, his voice was amazing. And the sound of the song, it's a very mellow song, very soft. I don't understand a word that he was saying because it was in Norwegian, but the vocals were unbelievable. Like, he's really a talented singer. It's kind of a shame that a lot of us here in the States have missed out on what he has to offer after Aha, of course. So, and then also on Dave's side, I went back and listened to Pearl Jam, and I'm still not that impressed with them, but I understand that it was a very it was an okay album. I'll give it that, but it was nothing that jumped out at me as something special. So anyway, just giving my humble opinion.
As I was thinking about, you know, your background in music taste and mine, I could see why that, you know, why it was something iconic for me or blew me out of the water. Because I didn't go that heavy, and you were way heavy.
Although,
and
some of their stuff, I know. Did you listen to any of the Metallica?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got to do that though.
Remember, wherever I may roam, that's the song. Seriously.
I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah.
If
you don't listen to anything else on that album, listen to Wherever I May Roam. That's a good one.
Cool. That's a bet. I listened to Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh, I did too. That was another one I listened to. Thanks for bringing that up. Keep going.
No worries. I listened to Walking on the Ocean.
That's a good song.
And I don't remember it.
Really?
Wow.
Walk on the Ocean. That was one of those songs that came up on the Pandora when I put it on the mix.
Yeah, that's one that, like, one of their songs that got, like, the most airplay.
Yeah. I just, yeah. So mm-hmm. I can officially say I never heard them at all.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
And then I got distracted with They Might Be Giants, and I listened to the Flood album. So I didn't get a chance to listen to Dookie or Metallica or Pearl Jam. Sorry. Maybe this week I'll be able to listen to them. Because I did say I would do that.
Yeah, I realized that we messed up our numbering for the episodes.
Okay.
Because
were we 9 and 10?
Well, no, not. I mean, we're good for tonight. But what happened was that when I gave Scott the number for the Dirty Harry episode, you had to update the episode, or you had to edit in your voice to get the number right. And then I did it again when we did the 90s albums. Because I think we were on episode 8 at that time, but it was actually 9 because I forgot that we recorded the reboot movies for the 80s.
Yeah.
So that was actually episode 8, and then that means the 90s albums would have been episode 9.
Right.
But we said it was 8. And then tonight we did 10 and 11.
Right.
So that's where we're at, even though we've also got, you know, all the Flipside episodes that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Cool.